بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
So this episode is going to go live way down the line because you're traveling, but I have a few episodes I need to film with my dad and stuff. And then anyway, I don't know when we're posting this, so
probably
maybe, I don't know, we'll see, maybe end of May, June.
Fun
but
times.
Because you're traveling.
I am.
For a very long time.
Mm.
Sad.
You should cry about it.
I mean, oh, for those who don't know, it's Sarah.
Hi guys. Off camera duties today.
I know. Very strange.
I know, super strange, but we're ready to kickstart some rapid fire questions for this podcast.
Are we Khalas doing rapid fire, like for real, for real?
I don't know. I just feel like the last time that we recorded in the studio, it was super fun and we were throwing out rapid fire questions when we did the live stream. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe your audience wants to hear more kind of like, they want to see themselves in the nuggets of these different questions that might be quite specific and rather than like a whole kind of episode about one specific thing. So maybe I can ask some questions if you don't mind.
Mm.
Mm.
I don't mind.
Okay, can I just get started?
I mean, I guess. Yeah, let's go.
Do you want me to tell people what these questions are about or just to kind of go forward?
Just go for it. And then if a conversation arises, it arises.
Okay. How do I know if I'm enough in a relationship? And by relationship, I mean romantic.
It depends on the... If you have to ask, you're not enough. I'm going to be honest. If you have to ask, how do I know if I'm enough? It's because your subconscious sees a lacking and you don't think you are enough. It could be either you are truly lacking something or you're just insecure and feeling this sense of lack of self-worth, which is obviously something I've discussed, I've gone through. And the days where I ask myself, am I enough? It's, I know I'm asking because I don't believe that I am, you know?
Mm.
But wait, the question was, how do you know?
Yeah, how do I know if I'm enough in a relationship? Like, and I'm sure, and it goes back to kind of what we chat about all the time, where it's like, if you're really confused in a relationship,
you're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place. Because if anyone is going to make you feel secure or sure that that's the right relationship, it's the person that you're with.
But that depends on the context of the question. So is it you're in a relationship and your partner is making you feel like you're not enough? Or is it before you've even entered a relationship, you're questioning, am I enough?
I think it's the former, not the latter.
You think it's the former? Okay. Mm. Oh, then in that case, that's heartbreaking. If you're in a relationship and someone's making you feel like you're not enough, that person never has any intention of ever making you feel like you're enough. Because it could go two ways. It's either they are just strictly abusive and they love feeding on this need you have for approval. Because if you're asking, am I enough? They've cracked your foundation. They've cracked your sense of self-belief, your sense of self-worth, and you're questioning, is it me? Am I enough? Is there something wrong with me? And what happens with that usually is that you then crave and beg and plead for their approval, which, khalas, that's a losing battle. There's no way you win that war. Get out. Or it's the other thing where they also don't communicate enough. You know what I mean? You have to... If you're feeling like you're not enough in a relationship and your partner is making you feel that way, in some cases, there is the case where you can communicate and talk to them and be like, hey, I'm starting to feel like no matter what I do, it's not making you happy. And if that person is sensible enough and has any form of accountability, they might try to meet you halfway and understand where you're coming from because they want this relationship to succeed enough that they will want to validate your feelings, even if in the moment their ego's like, no, absolutely not. They're trying to attack us, you know?
Mm.
But... unfortunately, most of the cases is the person who's just taking advantage of your low sense of self-worth.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
What do you think?
I agree. I think it's a tough one because the feeling of lack or the feeling of deficiency in a relationship obviously stems from you first and foremost, and then the relationship adds to that because you would not be in a relationship or attracting a type of energy that makes you feel that way if you weren't in some way, shape, or form allowing that for yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you have to fix that within yourself or at least try and look at yourself and wonder, is the foundation of this relationship based on the fact that I'm not enough? Because, you know, sometimes people will actively seek that out in a partner. They'll find someone that is lacking and is deficient in some way so they can be the savior.
Yeah.
And so... that's why I find, you know, even in some relationships when people are like, you know, like you're succeeding and excelling in your life. And then all of a sudden your partner looks a little bit like differently towards you or is somehow, you know, they've they don't quite align with the way that your life is going if you're winning, you know? So I definitely think that way.
I just also, like, point blank period, if you are in a relationship where someone is making you feel like you're worthless and you're not enough and you're not good enough, and it's coming from a place of they're not trying to help you feel better and feel good enough. They're not reassuring you that you're good enough. Or if you have done wrong, they're not sitting there having an honest conversation with you, taking honest steps towards bettering the relationship. You're with a person who wants you to feel worthless because it benefits them tremendously. It so does. You're in the wrong place. There's no way I can make you feel better about that.
Mm. Is God testing my heart or am I ignoring red flags?
Both.
Do you want to elaborate?
Absolutely, I do. Of course it's both. God is always testing our hearts. And I think, I'm going to cry. Stephen Colbert has an interview. I think you know the one I'm talking about. I think it's with that. He's a TV, BBC, one of those hosts who has the white silver hair. Anthony Anderson. What's his name? No, that's an actor. Cooper?
Andrew Cooper?
Is it?
No, but he's American.
Yeah, the American with the...
blonde hair.
White hair.
Yeah, I think it's Andrew Cooper.
Anyway, Stephen Colbert has this interview where the person interviewing him deep dove and on some of the things he said. And he asks Stephen, is it true? Or when you said something... Oh, anyway, Stephen Colbert is having an interview and the person found something that he had previously said, and it was something along the lines of, I've learned to love what I hate most because what punishments from God are not a gift. And even the dude asking him starts tearing up the way I am now because it's such a profound statement. Of course, God is always testing your heart because you either become the person who's so into the self-victimology and into... I'm such a miskin and I'm such a poor me oh my, woe is me, or you become so profoundly addicted to that because it's what Stephen said, what punishments from God are not a gift because they open your heart, they increase your capacity to love, to have empathy, to want to come back to God, to be grateful to every philosopher we love, whom we love, has spoken about the more pain you're able to engulf, the more joy you're able to feel, because you cannot feel empathy, happiness, joy, excitement without having known the complete opposite of it. Otherwise, you're just numb. Otherwise, it's plateaued. So is God testing your heart every single day? Every breath you take is a test, because it's a test to, am I grateful in this moment? Am I grateful for the breath that I'm taking? Am I grateful for the people in my life? Am I grateful for my shortcomings because they've allowed me to become the human I am today? Every breath you take is a test from God, and every exhale you take is either a passing or a failure. And if you don't recognize how profound what Stephen Colbert said is, you actually are losing within every breath and exhale. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And are you ignoring the red flags? Yeah, of course. Who doesn't ignore red flags every now and then? You know, you'd be a saint if you didn't.
But when you think about God testing you, I think the question is more along the lines of, if I keep seeing the red flags or I keep getting quote unquote tested, tested, is that me just ignoring it? Or is that me being like, oh, this is just another test from God and whatnot? Or am I just actively choosing to sabotage myself because I'm allowing for these red flags to exist? I see them, but I ignore them.
So are we speaking strictly in romantic relationships here?
You can go whichever way with this relationship.
But I think I still stand by my answer, because I get what you're saying, because we've had these conversations in private. They come hand in hand. Because if you see it as God's testing my heart, it's because you failed the test and God has sent another test, you know? So, yeah, do we ignore red flags all the time? Because sometimes we pass a certain test and we think, okay, I'm good. I proved to God and the universe that I meant what I meant and I'm walking my walk and I said I was ready and I'm passing these tests. But things don't always happen the way we want them to. So the tests can happen in different forms. You know, it's the same way you and I were talking about how a certain test that I've been through, and then something else comes along, and I'm like, no, but Sarah, that's not the same. You're like, But it is.
But it is actually identical.
It took a long time. Well, not a long time. It was one day. But a long, heated conversation between us for me to go like, it's the same flag, just in a different package, mm-hmm. in a different time, with a different entryway. The same nonetheless. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, then the next question is quite interesting because it says, what is the difference between sabr and self-silencing?
Okay, so sabr, for those who don't know, in Islam is patience, and it's the art of patience. We're talking about divine sabr. And you're asking me what's the difference between sabr and?
Self-silencing.
One comes with peace and the other comes with a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
If it is true sabr, if it is true patience because you trust your God, you have that yaqeen that what you asked for is coming, and even better. There is no anxiety attached to it. You move differently. You move with a sense of peace, with a sense of God is on my side. It's a different energy all around. Self-silencing comes with a lot of anxiety and a lot of regret and mm-hmm. a lot of fear and panic.
And that's where you're taking the wheel. Mm. Whilst with sabr, you're leaving it up to God.
Yeah. And you don't think about it. You're not attached to the outcome. Mm. You are not attached to the outcome. Self-silencing is you are. It's moving like a hamster wheel in your head. What's going to happen? And also, in some extreme cases, which unfortunately today is very prevalent, it manifests as illnesses. You get sick, your hair falls out, you get acne, you get depressed. They're two very different walks of life.
Mm. This is, I think, a little bit of a controversial question. And I think it's relatable to a lot of people who are in relationships but are spiritually inclined. So what happens when our emotional / sexual needs clash with our Islamic boundaries?
Okay. Final answer. Final answer. If it clashes, you don't need it. Like my simplest answer, if we want to go into the most simple answer, if what you need in this dunya with your physical body clashes with what God has deemed you need to do, then you are 100% the wrong. And I get it. Everyone gets weak. Things happen. But it doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. And this is where even when my brother was on the show, on the podcast, we talked about this. It's about the discipline of my ego or my body or my sense of dunya is craving something.
Mm.
But my faith and my love for God needs to trump that. That needs to be triumphant of, I'm going to sacrifice something for God because I know God will reward me tenfold.
Mm.
So what happens when it clashes? Then, babe, you need to get rid of it.
Mm.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I think that, you know, everyone has their own like kind of Achilles heel when it comes to what is their test, what is their pain point.
Yes.
And I find it really fascinating when we talk about people who are in relationships who identify as very spiritual people or Muslims or practitioners. No. But yet when it comes to relationships, it's like there's a lot of gray area. Like the way that they got to know their husband was actually through a way that we would consider not very halal, not very kosher. And it was done through secrecy, and they, you know, dated for like 3-4 years or they lived together and their parents didn't know. But then it yielded a marriage and children in the end. So it's like, does one is this a cause and effect situation where you have to abandon something in order to get it back, or do you abandon it entirely? So I'm always really curious about that.
But you and I talk about this, and again, it is in theory, I understand, but there are some cases where it's worked out, right? Obviously, there are always exceptions to every rule. There are the cases where people dated for a few years, or moved in together, or, and it's worked out. But you and I always have the conversation of, did he actually choose her? Was it that they just happened to be stuck together and they can't find anyone better? So it's like, yalla, we settled. And we've been together for 4 years. Yalla, it's the right thing to do is to conform and get married and. So it's really easy to look at people from the outside, but you don't know what happens behind closed doors. And that maybe is what their soul called for in this dunya. But you and I, that's not what we call for. You know, I want the Candace Owens 17 days. Let's get engaged. Let's go.
Well, then it begs the question of a vast majority of people that we speak about in terms of this type of formula, let's say, which is like, I want you, I've chosen you, you come here, you're mine kind of situation, which is great. That rarely happens. But when
in real life.
Yeah, in real life, it rarely happens. So the question is like, generally speaking, do men choose? Do men choose?
Again, theoretical, but I would like to hope that a real man chooses. And it's unfortunate that most of the cases that I've seen around me is the men and women haven't really chosen each other. They just happen to date, get along, keep going at it with no end in sight. And then they were like, okay, yeah, it's time to get married. But you see the difference is clear between a man who chose his wife and his children and this life and between a man who's just like, oh, it's the right time to get married.
But being a woman who is on the receiving end of that, do you think that women are aware or are they just blissfully ignorant?
Both. I think it's both. And I also think, here's the thing. It's an interesting thing with the woman thing, right? Because if you blame women, you're a woman hater. And if you validate women, then you're a feminist. But you can't validate their weakness because then it's like, oh, you're making the woman the victim all the time. So if I tell you, no, women have a sense of authority in their relationships, even if it's in a negative sense, that they know where they are and what they're doing, because if anything, at least body, mind, and soul, there is a red flag ringing somewhere, then it's going to be like you're blaming the victim. And then if I say, oh, she was just blissfully ignorant the entire time, then what am I saying? She's stupid? She can't make her own decisions? And the man overpowered her with his narcissism and his love bombing, that she was just too weak and naive to ever make it out? So there is no winning when it comes to the women. But I will stand my ground with, I would rather take accountability and be in charge of my life just for the sake of, there's nowhere left to go but uphill from there. You take back control of where you move forward from here. And even if there was a temporary moment of blissful ignorance, I would at least like to believe that I have the spiritual strength and somewhat of an emotional integrity and mental integrity to try to wake up and make it out alive. So I don't like this concept of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with the women. So it's both.
Mm.
And all together wrapped in one.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned accountability, and this is something that you and I have discussed in terms of whether men have more accountability than women or if women have more accountability than men when it comes to relationships.
Go ahead.
So the question is like, or the sort of circular statement that we both got to was the deep lack of accountability that men will have in relationship dynamics, so that they can't be at fault. They kind of relinquish accountability. So the question is, why is that the case?
It's emotional immaturity. It's a lack of discipline. It's not having the right tools to know what it is to be a man. Most men today weren't raised by men. It's an unfortunate statement to make. Most men have a deep, deep, deep father figure wound, and they're very sensitive and they're very emotional. And then, God forbid, unfortunately, when they're raised by single mothers who weren't equipped to raise men. Because there are some single mothers out there that did a damn good job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take that away from them. Mm-hmm. But there are also single mothers that didn't. And she did the best that she could with what she had. But unfortunately, she was found lacking. And it's a thing. And the repercussions exist in today's society. And then we have men that are feminine, that are weak, that can't take accountability. This is the standard of what makes you a man. And we're talking bare minimum here. And they lack those things.
So you think that them lacking accountability is more them aligning with a feminine trait?
Absolutely.
And but
women
then,
by nature do not know how to take accountability. And it's not an insult to women. God made us this way for a reason. Every woman has to have a sense of narcissism towards herself. Otherwise, she can't survive. You have to love yourself a little, spoil yourself a little, talk about yourself a little highly, a little, even if it's a little delulu, a little. You have a margin of delulu as a woman that you are entitled to because God made you this way. You know,
how so?
But with men, it will break a woman's ego. If a man always ever wants a woman to just take accountability and just tell her she's wrong and just have her in a state where she's apologizing all the time, you break her soul beyond repair. The statement, happy wife, happy life, exists for a reason. You have to jamil martak to a certain extent. You know she's in the wrong. She knows she's in the wrong. But you have to let it slide. Women have to feel like they got away with it, not always taking accountability. God made us this way. Women are delusional.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, no, I fully agree with the statement. My dad and I have gone into depth about this.
Mm.
Women, but by a woman's nature, she has to lie a little and struggle to take accountability. There's a reason most women don't know how to take accountability.
Well, then who lies more, men or women?
Well, men are very feminine now. Both lie just as much. Both lie just as much. Women lie to, women lie in many, 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 many horrible ways. Women lie to each other. عدو المرأة المرأة. The greatest enemy of a woman is a woman. No one will lie to you like a woman. No one will want to hurt you as much as a woman will. No one will want to self-sabotage you, steal your man, destroy your reputation like a woman. In the Quran, إنك أيدهن عظيم. I think Rasul عليه الصلاة والسلام had mentioned at the end of time. My dad has mentioned this many times about fitnat al-mar'a, the woman's ability to gossip and how detrimental it would be. So women lie like nobody's business. But men, can we even call them men? The boys lie. The boys lie.
But do you want to go into depth about how that is the case? Because yes, men and women lie for different reasons. They're incentivized by different things. And I think
they lie for all the same reasons now.
Really though?
Yeah, I think they do. You're talking, if you're thinking about just the specific happening of in a relationship when men lie just so they're not at fault, that's a very, very specific thing. But everyone lies now, Sarah. You can't trust people as far as you can throw them. I think it's not about man or woman anymore. I think there's an epidemic of people have lost their values. They've lost their moral compass, their sense of ethics, because people aren't grounded in God anymore. Mm-hmm. There used to be a khuf of Allah. And not in the sense that you need to fear God all the time, like he's this big scary monster, God forbid, but just you respect and understand the ta'zeem of Allah, that there is a fear. Like your heart shakes a little bit at the remembrance of him, with love, with fear, with compassion, with all these beautiful emotions. Who has that now? You speak about God to people and they're just like, yeah. Like, since when did God, the topic of Allah, become like, yeah? Do you see what I mean? So it's not about men and women and who's more narcissistic. And who, I think just in general, but الناس بطل عندها خوف ربنا. And that in itself is the beginning of the end of society. Do you see what I mean? But do men lie? If you want to go into specifics about relationships, yeah, babe, they're freaking horrible.
Yeah.
And they get away with a lot, but who's to blame? You teach people how to treat you. So as a woman, if you keep tolerating a man's misbehaviors, are you not in turn teaching him how to treat you?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you not showing him what you are allowing and not allowing, where your boundaries lie?
Absolutely.
And then we want to turn around and just say, oh, men are liars and men are cheaters and men are dogs. Yeah, but who trained them to be so? You know? But again, I've spoken about this before. It's, to me, reached a point like, even if women are the reason men are so horrible, Tabi, you're a man. Keep it together. Be disciplined. By your nature, you should reach a point where you're just like, even if women are so available, I as a man want to be disciplined because it'll better me. Even if women have become trashier or easier, for lack of a better word, I will not take part in these endeavors. This lifestyle doesn't suit me. I will put God at the forefront of my mind because it is what will make me a better man and maybe in turn fix society just a little bit. So if women took accountability and men took accountability and we kind of tried to meet each other halfway. But no one wants to do that.
I know. All we want is an accountability party.
No one wants to do that. I just think all around.
Yeah.
Because if you put God at the center of the conversation, it would be different.
But then that brings me to the next question, which is, how do you function in a relationship if God or spirituality is not the center of it?
I can't speak for those who do it, because you'll have people in the comments going like, I'm an atheist, but me and my husband have been together for 30 years. Great for you, Karen. You know what I mean? But for me personally, from where I stand, if God isn't at the center of our relationship, I don't see how we could move forward together as a unit. Because if you do not serve God, then you serve man. And man in this case could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything man-made, man-related, money, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever it is. you know? So how am I then as a wife approaching you? Am I approaching you with the sense of, I just need your money because I worship the money that you've brought into my life? You as a man, are you approaching me that it was just the lust and the sex the first 2 years of marriage and that naturally dims down? What is at the center of your conversation? Fleeting things like money and all of these things that I just mentioned. So, but God that is eternal and clear and set in stone, and there is no room for negotiating or misunderstanding certain things. If that's at the center of your conversation, then I meet you with love and compassion for his sake, and you meet me with love and compassion for his sake, because we hate what he hates and we love what he loves. It's a very different way of moving. Babe, you and I see it every day when we wake up and we pray. Like, even when we're sitting talking, we're like, okay, but I need to pray. Our talaat, where we go out, what we frequent, what we do, who we speak to, is based on, yeah, God doesn't really like that, so I'm not going to do that. It's very different than people that are just like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to go out and drink and party tonight because, like, I'm tired. Or, like, I had a really crappy week. It's just, it's beyond words at this point because it's two different mentalities. Mm-hmm. You can't even, it's not something you can translate.
Mm. No, I agree. But then if someone is in a relationship, let's just say, what is the difference between waiting with hope and waiting with denial?
Your inner relationship.
Yeah.
I'll say the same thing because this is my dad's favorite answer to things. In a relationship, the difference between waiting with hope and waiting in denial is one comes with a sense of peace and clarity, and the other comes with a lot of depression, anxiety, panic, and fighting. If it is genuine hope and your soul knows this is my partner, because God created us in pairs. طيبون للطيبات. خلص, your ruh knows that's my husband. Something in your cells vibrates, you know? And there's a sense of peace and there's a sense of itma'nan and just knowing that this is from God. The latter of waiting in denial comes with a lot of fear, a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of machine gun bullet thoughts, you know what I mean? Of talking yourself into it, talking yourself out of it, fighting with them, fighting with everyone around you, crying, sleeping, panicking. That one is clear and the other is a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's a woman's job, or that women mainly feel emotionally responsible for healing a man?
Yeah, of course. I don't think it's a woman's job. Is that the question? Is it a woman's job? No. I think women take on the job of healing men because we have so much love to give at some point in our lives that it has to go somewhere. It gets to the point where it almost drives you crazy. You can go mad with these trapped emotions, especially something as pure and as intense as a love that a woman has the need to give. Women, by their nature, they nurture. So imagine a woman who has so much nurturing to give with no outlet for it. That's hell on earth. So yeah, it can breed some desperation or some hopelessness and helplessness that she can latch on to any passion project just to try to fix them, just to try to give that love because she wants to be seen and wants that love to be acknowledged. And that rarely ever happens when you crave it in a negative way like that.
So what happens to the women who do end up doing that because they don't know where to put the love?
So it's interesting because there's so much talk of self-love. So much. What is it to actually love yourself? Think about it. What is it? Is it that I went to my Pilates class? Is it that I got myself a matcha? What is loving yourself? It's the discipline, to me, to be what God intended you to be, regardless of what your ego needs in the moment. Let me explain. You have all this love to give. God hasn't blessed you with a partner yet. So rather than self-sabotaging or feeling helpless or hopeless, you give that love to anything that will better society. Go to an orphanage. Go to the Children's Cancer Center in your nearest hospital. There are so many ways to give back where that love can find you back. So in the sense, is that not loving yourself when you go and give your love to a child who has cancer in the hospital? Is that not loving yourself if you go visit the what are they called? The old people homes. Why am I? Retirement home?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's an outlet. That is something that you can do. But no, people wanna life can't revolve around a boy. It can't. Your life cannot revolve around a man. So if it can go two ways. It's either God hasn't blessed you with someone yet, or God will not bless you with someone yet. Both you need to accept with as much grace as you can possibly muster. It both don't deny the fact that women by their nature need to nurture, and they have all this love to give with no outlet. Find things that are good for the community and for the soul that would make God happy, like going to an orphanage or a homeless center or visiting a children's hospital. Give back to your community. Be a productive member of society. Go home and rest your head on a pillow knowing you've been a good Samaritan today. That is enough. That kind of love and that kind of charity and that kind of giving, it comes back in much more beautiful ways than the typical self-love of, oh, I went to my Pilates class and I went on a girl's night because I love myself. That's not what self-love is. That's not the self-love that God deemed we needed.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
What do you think?
I agree, but it's not about what I think, it's about what you think. Why are women told they are too much when what they really are giving is just the bare minimum or just the same level?
Wait, when women are giving back the bare minimum or they're being given the bare minimum?
They're being given the bare minimum and people are like, you're just too much. You're asking for way too much.
Because that's someone who never had the intention of giving you anything to begin with. That's someone taking you for a ride every day of the week and twice on Sunday. A man. And girl, you know you're accepting the bare minimum. You know he's giving you just enough crumbs to keep you hooked and hanging and coming back begging for more like a little dog, okay? And then you confront him and he says, "Whoo, no, it's a little too much of you right now. You're asking for way too much." That's a man who had no intention of giving you nada, mm-hmm. nothing. He wants nothing to do with you, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves playing you like a little puppet and a marionette, and you need to get right on out of there because that's a fool. Who's making a fool of you? In this economy, who has the time?
Who has the time?
La, 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 la.
So why do some men only come back after you've healed from the wound that they caused?
Because you haven't really healed. That's God testing you. There's two ways to go about that. You either take them back like an idiot, or you don't even acknowledge that they've come back. If you've done the former, you haven't healed and that was God putting you to the test and you failed and fell flat on your face, which is fine, it happens, just pick yourself back up. And if it's the latter, then you have actually healed and you're very ready to move on from that wound. That being said, God could send you someone else with the same energy, just dressed up a little differently, but you need to have your wits about you and go like, no, I see what you did there, God, I feel you, thank you, I'm passing this test. And no, not for me.
Amen.
It's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Amen. So are we liking these questions? Are we liking the way that the direction it's going in?
Yeah, but you reminded me of a quote. Actually, can I read this? I it came across my feed the other day and I took a screenshot.
Screenshot.
Okay. This was a quote that I saw on my Instagram and I really loved it. It was so beautiful, but I was like, I don't know if I should post it on my story because maybe people will miss. Anyway. It goes like this, okay? I wondered if that was why God hated sin, because of the destruction it caused. For a moment, I felt awe for a God who loved me enough to hate the things that hurt me without hating me for causing them. Bro, I'm telling you, if you don't understand how profound some of these messages are, God doesn't hate sin because he wants your life to be miserable and boring. God hates it because it tears away at your soul. When you do something you're not supposed to do, when have you ever left that situation feeling cup half full? When have you ever left that situation feeling better about yourself, feeling more loving towards yourself? Never. It takes away pieces of your soul that sometimes you can never get back. God is literally like your parent just telling you, Habibi, that's a fire. You're gonna burn your finger. But it's in our human nature. We're too curious. We have to get burned once or twice. But it's just understanding how profound every breath you take is, truly.
Mm.
But yeah, I read that the other week and I was like, woo!
You've just been on an emotional roller coaster this
month. I am on an emotional roller coaster. I don't know why. Huh.
How do I make peace with wanting more without being ungrateful?
wait, can I just like fix my face?
Yeah.
Because I'm tearing up. I should have, you know? Oh, no. SubhanAllah, I was just thinking of my dad and he messaged me. Oh, love him. Right, let's call him and just so he says hi to the audience. Imagine he doesn't answer me. He just texted me. He just texted me. Daddy? Oh. Okay, he'll call back. This is embarrassing.
Super embarrassing.
It's okay, he'll call back. Yeah, continue. Sorry, Sarah.
Well, chemistry is that okay. Am I looking for a husband or a savior? Not me personally. I'm just saying.
No,
just
I got that.
Because I need to preface that.
both. I think it's so okay if your husband saves you. I think it's so okay if you're looking for a savior in your husband, especially if you didn't receive that positive kind of love from your dad as a kid. God forbid he passed away. God forbid he was a horrible man. God forbid he was an abusive father. I think it's so okay to want to be wonderfully saved by a man, because there's a beauty to that in where you're allowing a man to be a man and you're allowing yourself to be a broken woman, not in the sense that you're helpless or weak or any of that, but you embrace your wounds and the pain that you've been through, because they've made you this sweet, beautiful, sensitive soul that you are, that is capable of appreciating the love of a good man. I think it's just about changing the wording. You know, we tend to think if you have daddy issues, then house, we just need to be the stereotypical daddy issue kind of woman. But why don't we have the right to take that pain and just be like, it's made me a loving, sensitive, empathetic woman. And I want to give that to a man who has the courage to come save me. Why is that wrong?
Mm. I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I just find it interesting because it's kind of like what we've spoken about off of this podcast. Mm. The way that we think about frequency and chemistry and the type of energy that we're radiating and emitting and that we can seek and attract and all of this kind of stuff. A weak woman is so easy to find.
Yeah.
And the second that a man sniffs that weakness, he will exploit it like nobody's business.
Absolutely.
Because it's part of his nature to be dominant and to pursue and to be goal-oriented, that he needs to find a way to kind of enter the weakness and fix that weakness. Mm. And so when I think of, you know, relationships and things like that, that if you're a woman who doesn't course correct and self-reflect and post-rationalize and figure yourself out, you will always be an open, like a massive, you know,
just an open wound for people to and touch, see, poke, it. Play, experiment with. Absolutely.
And it's interesting because I have a friend who attracts like emotionally unavailable and physically unavailable people. And it was so funny. We were having a conversation and she was just like, why do I keep attracting these people? And I'm like, girl, like it's not the question of why do I keep attracting it, but what energy are you putting out there to be catnip for people to come to you?
Mm.
And it's like your open wound or an open, pain body waiting to be exploited.
Mm.
And so it's the same kind of woe is me mentality with a lot of women who love to sort of victimize themselves whenever they go out. And they're like, why didn't I find a good man? Why am I always getting these guys that I only like have one night stands with? And blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, then what are you doing to contribute to that? Like, a man can smell that from a mile away.
But that's why I was saying, I don't think it's a bad thing if the woman has the emotional intelligence to have gone through what she needed to go through and understand why she went through what she went through. Unfortunately, it's the deep hatred for men, especially if you had a horrible dad, then it's like men ain't shit and all of that. Mm-hmm. I get it, you know what I mean? But it's like, okay, if you were so unlucky as a child, why are you carrying that unluck with you into the future. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. It's about how you choose to view things. You've been through what you went through. Khalas, that's done. There's nothing we can do about it. There is nothing you can do about your daddy issues. Baba, God forbid, abandoned. God forbid, beat. God forbid, abused. Whatever it is, it's happened. There is nothing on God's good green earth that you can do to change your past. But there is a lot that you can do to change your future.
Yeah.
And even if you love yourself to the extreme, to the extreme, to the extreme, it's also okay to want to have a man come and save you, come and replenish your cup, come and love you the way you weren't loved before. That's not wrong, but it's just the intention and how you go about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the healing of thyself.
Indeed.
And I'm talking actual healing.
Yeah.
So again, the self-love for God, not for matcha loving Pilates vibes.
Indeed. Okay, question. Why are men often described as emotionally unavailable? Is it nature, nurture, or choice?
If I'm going to be as tough love as I possibly can, choice. Because this whole mommy didn't love me when I was a kid and that's why I'm emotionally unavailable for you, whether you're a man or a woman, I'm over it. It's 2025. Get it together. Mommy didn't love you, you can find a good woman to love you. Daddy didn't love you, you can find a good man to love you. What has happened in the past, you cannot change it. There is nothing on God's good green earth that you can do to change the parents that you had, the siblings that you had, the bully that you had. It's khalas. It's in the past. It's set in stone. But your future, how you go about things, that is entirely up to you. And it's never too late. You have the ability right now in this second, in this moment, to change it. It's literally a choice. It's a decision and you just need to go with it. And it's hard, but nothing good ever came easy. These deep, deep changes, they come with a lot of pain. But the pain of staying the same, to me, is worse than the pain of change. Your pain of change, it's a good kind of pain. You know what I mean? Your pain of staying the same needs to be so extreme that you have no other option but to change. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And then also I saw a video and there was this, I think he's a doctor, not sure, but I saw this video of a man who was I sent it to you yesterday, Sarah. I did.
And it was, No. I'm going to preface this because I think people need to know this.
I sent you like 10,000
videos. Like, you know when people send like, oh, I communicate through memes, I communicate through videos. Layla will send me on average 20, maybe 40 videos.
And different themes.
Different themes.
Like one is funny, one is deep, one is like
one is a video,
theory.
One is just
an
audio, one is a, you know. And I'm just like, can I try and make sense of this narrative that's coming through? And
just
then I realize,
just go with it.
So it's when you said I sent you, I'm like, I probably saw it or I probably didn't. So
I sent it yesterday after you went to bed and I was watching something. He speaks along the lines of, if you take things that have happened to you in the past, okay? Actually, do I play it?
Is it Joe Dispenza?
Is he who?
Is it Joe Dispenza?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it was Joe Dispenza.
Wait, let me open our chat. It's not this. Not that. Did I send it yesterday? Maybe not. Wallahi, maybe not. We're scrolling. Scrolling. Sarah, did I not send this to you?
Girl, I don't know how many people you text.
It's a really, really good video. And he's talking about how... I'm pretty sure I sent this yesterday. It's a really good video. And he's talking about how if you take something into your future... No, this I sent this morning. Quantum physics explains importance to get over your past.
X takes their attention off their past and starts looking at themselves, denaturing that identity that's built on the past. See, that person had a reaction to that circumstance, and that reaction produces a refractory period of chemicals and emotions, right? And if you don't know how to control that refractory period, and it lasts for hours or days, it's called a mood. You keep that same refractory period going on for weeks or months, now it's a temperament, one long emotional reaction. You keep that refractory period going on for years on end. That's a personality trait. And most people's personalities are defined by, I am this way because my husband cheated on me. What you're really saying is you haven't changed in 10 years and you're giving your vital life force to that person, who is worth 10 years of your life?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought that was so important because mm-hmm. one of the things that you and I discuss privately, you know, like the most traumatic things that I've been through. And I always tell you, I don't care about them at all. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I refuse to be defined by something that happened to me when I was 10, when I was 12, when I was 13. I don't care. Because number one, why would I willingly choose to be so weak as to be defined by an irrelevant moment that doesn't even belong to me anymore, because I'm not 12 anymore. I'm 30. So I want to react the way my 12-year-old did and carried all of that angst and that deep, deep wound and trauma all into her teen years and then maybe early 20s. And I want to be the same at 30.
Mm-hmm.
Am I that weak? Do I have that? Do I think so low of myself that that's what I want to be all throughout my life? You know what I mean? And it's very accurate. Most people's personality trait mm-hmm. is, this happened to me as a kid. My dad didn't love me. My wife cheated on me. My whatever it is. Are they big life-altering things? Yeah. But is it all of your life? Are you that weak? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. No, I totally 100% agree with this. And this is in the context of everything, a relationship, everything. You could even take celebrities like Pete Davidson. He makes his entire, like his father's passing, his entire personality, or somebody like, you know, I don't know, what's his name? Prince Harry.
Oh my God.
The death of Diana is his entire personality. It's almost like you're actively choosing to keep stagnant and still in a very specific point in your life
mm-hmm.
because you feel this is the only way you can be validated or someone can, because who doesn't love a good, like,
morbid,
you know,
story?
Yeah. But also who doesn't love a good, like, you know, lick of validation when someone can feel pity and empathy and compassion for you, that you're sitting there and lapping it up. It's like you are so emotionally dysregulated that you constantly need that external validation.
I think also there's a quote by Carl Jung. It goes along the lines of, people will do anything, no matter how ridiculous, to avoid confronting their own souls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that. It's if you latch onto and hold on for dear life to something that happened to you when you were a prepubescent teen, no matter how traumatic it is, because believe you me, I know how filthy people can be and the trauma that they can burn into your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if your whole life becomes that, why are you actively choosing to be so weak?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you it's anything, but I don't want to face my own soul. So I'm just going to hold on to that thing that happened to me and I'm going to make it the trajectory of my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, I'm going to punish people for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Such is life. Okay.
Where's Besabiso, by the way?
I have no idea.
She's been a little...
MIA.
Is she bil khazane?
No, maybe she's in the corner. Oh, there she is.
Okay, okay. She's been...
Yeah, she's been...
I'm like, did I lock her in the closet?
Okay, so we're going to switch the trajectory up to questions of, can I be soft if my softness was once weaponized against me?
Yeah, of course.
Or can I be soft when I've always been strong?
Yeah, of course.
Theory and practice?
No, 100% practice. Do you know why? Because God told you could be whatever the hell you wanted to be. Just because you grew up strong out of necessity and out of need to survival doesn't mean you can't be soft when you want to be. Doesn't mean you can't learn to unlayer a different version of yourself. Who is to say that you are only ever meant to be one thing? God told you you could be anything. If your softness was used against you as weakness, it's because you weren't soft. You were weak. So two very different things.
Mm.
If you are only ever soft without strength, that's weakness. That's not softness.
I think the context was not soft in terms of weakness. I think it was more like soft girl era.
Yeah, soft girl era. If it's used against you, you weren't a soft girl. You were just a weak girl.
Mm.
It's an interesting thing. When people go like, oh, my kindness was used against me. No, it wasn't. You were weak. You actively chose to be a doormat. And maybe also you were blindsided with betrayal. But that's also fine. But then if it happens again and again and again, why have you not taken a step back to ask yourself, Why am I allowing these specific types of personality traits into my life? Mm-hmm. You need to recalibrate how you view yourself and how you view others and your level of naivete. You know what I mean? So, no, your kindness wasn't taken advantage of. Your weakness was exploited. They're two very different things. Mm-hmm. And by calling things what they are, you're allowing yourself the room and the taking back of control to better it. But if you're just going to keep telling yourself, oh, people just keep taking advantage of my kindness, that will only ever continue to happen. And yalla, hodla.
Well, then the next question is, why is it that your audience keeps asking you the same questions?
Because my audience doesn't want to grow. I'm going to call them out. My audience doesn't want to grow. Babe, there is a clear line in my audience. And I see them and they see it because I DM a few of them. There are videos that I post out of context because, again, it's a very long-winded conversation with a lot of context and a lot of nuance and, right? And also my personal background feelings that I don't have to explain to anyone, which is also kind of great, you know what I mean? But I'll post a video, for example, about the West has always been confused about women. We weren't. And you can see in the comments, women who will be like, ah, how dare you? And this is so disappointing. And Layla, no, how could you do this to me? And it's like, I'm sorry, do I pay your bills? I can do whatever I want. But then I'll see the women that'll be like, listen to what she said. But I can tell clearly, and it's very interesting, by just that little comment of the woman who was just like, no, listen to what she said, that woman will go places. And the other one who just... Every episode I do this, okay? My hot take. This is my hot take. If you watch a 15-second reel or TikTok and you get so triggered, you have to comment and then your day is ruined, you have the emotional intelligence of a hamster. Why is a stranger getting your knickers in a twist? Why am I triggering you this much? You don't know me. I don't know you. You can just... Here's the crazy thing. Scroll on by. Block me. But to get so triggered by someone you don't know and someone's opinion and it affects the rest of your day, maybe even the trajectory of your life, you have the emotional intelligence of a loaf of bread. Yeah. Anyway, what were we saying?
No, because I was really curious.
The soft girl thingy? No.
No. I was really curious because when you and I speak about what it is your audience likes to hear, it seems to be often the same conversations, which is like relationships. How does religion play a role in relationships? How do we deal with, you know, either being victimized or a victim or all of this type of stuff? And it seems like they need somebody to slap them in the face and make them realize that, like, actually, I'm going to be your best friend that you never had and tell you like what you're thinking is wrong and what you're thinking is stupid. But yet they keep coming back for more and they keep asking the same questions. So have we not learned from the previous video?
The people that we're talking about, even the people who self-sabotage or continue to want to be victims, obviously a lot of these people are in my audience. And then the people we talk about who know will take that trauma and use it as fuel and better themselves and they're going to change the trajectory of their life and take control also exist in my audience. But unfortunately, the latter is a lot rarer. A lot. Mm-hmm. Most people just want to get triggered and want a reason to beat their chest and lose their minds.
I mean, there's a reason why ignorance is bliss. There's a reason.
But also, I will say something. And this is something I've learned. This is a law in the universe. And nothing you can do will ever change it. You will always find what you're looking for. Always. And the universe will always send you exactly what it is that you are asking for. So everything that you are receiving in your life, if you want to deem it as a trigger and lose your mind, you, with your chest, attracted that. And then if you attract beauty, bliss, change, discomfort for your betterment and for your growth, your soul called for that and the universe gave it to you on a platter of gold. You will always find what you're looking for. You're looking for confusion and heartache, God will send you tenfold. You're looking for gratitude and bliss, God will send you tenfold. But this is a law. You will always get everything you ask for. Always.
Amen.
So my audience, when they ask for certain things, they get it. They get it. However, whichever way they receive it, it's what their soul is calling for. That's not my business. I'm just here. Mm. This is a don't shoot the messenger kind of thing.
Yeah, you're just here.
They're just a messenger. Mm? Just, you know? But it's interesting. It's always the same thing. Relationships, unrequited love. Limerence and unrequited love is a big theme.
There's a few questions about that, actually. And one of them, which I was scrolling and reading, was, you know, why is it that I am feeding or attracting unavailability? And I, like, why is it fueling me so much? Or why is it that I'm so, what is it? Let me try and find it. Hold on.
Oh, Dad called us back.
Okay, do you want to call him?
Excuse me, find the question. Hey, Daddy. Kifak. I'm filming a podcast with Sarah, so you're on speaker, but I just wanted the audience to, like, hear your voice.
Allah. Salam Allah.
Alaykum as
salam. Alaykum as salam.
All right, love you, Daddy.
Love you too, Baba.
Okay, bye. Alaykum as salam. Bye. Fi aman Allah. Kyoti. This is actually something that I really appreciate that my parents did ever since I was young. It's so weird and it's so not a big deal, but it actually really is. Ever since I was a kid, they always taught me, like, say hi with Assalamu Alaikum and say bye with either Assalamu Alaikum or Fi Amanillah. Till today, my parents don't hang up the phone without going, like, Fi Amanillah. And there's something just so, again, people, these little things that we don't even understand how profound they are, but Fi Amanillah means I leave you in the care of God. It's, I'm telling you, there are little things that parents can embed in a child's mind from a young age that just changes how they think, how they view things. Everybody now is like, hi, bye. You know what I mean? Like,
bonjour, bonjour. Bonjour,
Kifik, ça va? Ça va? Like, where is the peace be upon you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I leave you in the care of Allah. Like, where is that?
I don't know, babe. I don't know. And I can't find this question, which is really stressing me out. How long do we have? Oh, 5 minutes.
We have as however long as we need. Mm-hmm. I need to leave the house in like an hour and 15. Haga kida.
Mafish haga diggy kidder. Ihda habibi kidders. I need to get out more. Okay, hold on one second. It's such a different vibe when you're behind the camera because you forget that you're like, they can actually hear you. You're like,
I know. It's so...
Oh, what was it?
Truck accident unleashes 250 million honeybees in northwestern U.S. 250 million honeybees is crazy.
So crazy.
So crazy.
I'm not going to find this question. Wait, emotional.
It's okay.
Treasure.
I have a few things saved. Let me see if I can find them. Just things I wanted to share with the audience. You feel me? You picking up what I'm putting down?
I have no choice. There's one that said, am I rejecting healthy love because I don't know how to receive it?
If you're asking, then yeah.
I mean, obviously someone is asking a question. They're not probably, they don't have the wherewithal to be like, yeah, it's probably.
Yes, but I'm going to say it because then in the future, when you find yourself asking yourself certain questions, then yes, you know. But also, I might also say no. I'll tell you why. Because if it was good, it would stay. If it's meant for you, it stays.
Mm.
There's the saying in Arabic that if something is between two mountains and it's meant for you, God will find a way to bring it right to your doorstep. And if something doesn't belong to you, even if it is between your two lips, it's still not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something so reassuring about that, that if it is good, if it is meant for you, bro, there's nothing you could do to make it go away.
Indeed.
There's nothing you could do, no amount of self-sabotage. You know what I mean? But there's also, you have to have just a little bit of grace not to self-sabotage, just out of respect to God and the universe for taking the time to craft something so beautiful for you. Because if God thinks you deserve it, then you deserve it. And you need to put your ego and insecurities aside because they don't trump what God decrees.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think you're not worth it, but if God sends you something good and thinks you're worth it, best believe you're worth it.
But then you'll have like the women that are like, but what if I'm not worth it? They will be there. I'm playing devil's advocate.
I know, but they're always there. Then, do you know sometimes what you have to give people? A taste of their own medicine.
Yeah.
You know what, babe? You're not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. You are exactly what you said you are.
You're not worth it? I'm going to give you exactly what you want. Okay, you're not worth it. And then what?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? My page went away. Wait.
My page went away.
Will you go to war with me?
Brother, will you go to war with me, brother?
Will you fight the war with me, brother?
Ugh, my sister shared something on Instagram today, which I thought was just really beautiful. So simple. But it's an ayah from the Quran. إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It means, verily, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. And babe, you see it. You pray, قلبك برتاح. You say, Alhamdulillah, قلبك برتاح. You just look at your life and just try to thank God for just the little things that you have. The roof over your head, food on your table, a blanket to go to sleep with at night. Your heart relaxes. There's something so beautiful about it. And then, no, these are movies. This isn't what I want. I want my quotes. There they are. This is something I also found really interesting. This summarizes my 2025 personality, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We live in a society where alcohol is a beverage. Adultery is romance. Usury is... What's usury?
Usury?
U-S-U-R-Y is profit. I would want to say, like, helping a person out, so I'm going to change that, okay? Mm-hmm. We live in a society where alcohol is beverage. Adultery is romance, okay? Friendship is profit. Bribery is a tip. Modesty is outdated. Lies are diplomacy. Cheating is smartness. And morality is old-fashioned. And if someone questions this, he is a cloud chaser or a pick-me girl.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Crazy!
It's so crazy.
Okay. What else do I have saved? Is there anything you would like to say?
No, I think you... Because the thing is, right, like... just for so people can have some context, I deliberately not. I'm not like a retard. I don't stay quiet. Well, don't look at me like that.
No, you're definitely not a retard. Yeah. I'm just like, where's she going?
No. I'm not a retard. I deliberately don't say anything so that you don't have audio in your clip where I'm going. So, like, because there's some clips in the past, especially one of the first times we record, where like, she's literally like, she's on one and she's making a statement, and it's such a great clip, and all you. The background is like,
I'll tell you why, because people don't understand what it's like being in front of the camera. You're talking to someone, and let's say you're having a monologue.
Yeah.
And I want her to know that I'm here. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm registering.
So I nod in agreement.
Yeah, I nod and I'm like, right. To me, it's just like, so you know, I'm not like zoning out when you're.
But I don't want to. Because I swear down. If you go down, people are going to scroll now. If you go down, they list page. There's a few. If you just listen to the clip, everything she says is so profound, and all you hear is. And it's like, so I've chosen to actively stay quiet.
No, I love
it. And then that way, when she clips the video, she doesn't have this like annoying voice that's sitting there affirming her with like a monotone staccato. It's like, what is that? The dog, you know, on, it's just such an old
thing. Goofy? Oh, yeah?
No. It's like this, like I'll show you the video. It's like this dog where they put like a, they audio clip, like, I mean, they vocal clip a dog just kind of opening its mouth and it's just like, do you want a sandwich? And the dog's like, yeah. And that's what I feel like I do. So that's why I had to preface that. That was a long-winded response.
I'm going to read some of the quotes that I like.
Mm.
Just so we end this on like...
And I'm nodding in agreement.
She's here.
Yeah, I'm here. She's present. Just nodding in agreement in the background.
She's fully here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Someone said, people who can't communicate think everything is an argument. People who lack accountability think everything is an attack.
Absolutely. I remember who said that, yeah.
I think it's ridiculous that if you are trying to even have a conversation with someone about something that transpired and they just turn it into an argument and like, oh, you're attacking me. I don't feel safe. You're triggering me. How can you converse with people like this?
Mm-hmm.
But also, how delulu do you think that I can't come and offend you? I can't come and call you out. I can't come and disagree with you. It's ridiculous.
That is so true. And like a year ago, and something came up in my mind, so that you guys know that I'm not like a dead thing, like in the background.
Weird justification.
I know, but you know what I mean. A dead thing, in the background. Way freaky. Yeah, way freaky. Sing to me, Paolo. Okay, this audio is really not voice actor. If you need one, I'm right here. But it reminds me, like I have this vivid memory, just like resurfacing from my filing cabinet of memories, where. I was speaking to this woman and she had been so rude and disrespectful to me, and I called her out on it, and I was calling her out and I was angry about it.
Mm.
And then she was like,
she twisted it to make it seem like my reaction was out of context. And then she used that to further entrench herself in victimhood. And so the conversation ended up where I didn't apologize, but I was trying to maneuver her tactic to be like, wait, hold on a second. How is me reacting, which is a normal way to react, yeah, in a shitty situation, or sorry, in a bad situation. Sorry, yep, guys. In a bad situation. And then now my reaction is triggering your ability to be accountable. And it just turned into this like whole back and forth. And in the end, nothing was resolved because she did it in such a perfect way that like she was able to just weasel herself out of this situation. And I feel like that happens all the time.
It happens all the time. But those are the people you need to stay the hell away from. Absolutely. Because I'll tell you another thing that I found.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not attracting toxic people. Toxic people aren't picky. They go to everyone. You letting them stay is the issue that needs to be worked on.
Say it loud, say it proud.
I think it isn't about just you keep attracting toxic people. We live in a day and age where, unfortunately, God isn't at the center of people's minds and at the forefront of their minds and their conversations. So most people are toxic, mm-hmm, because they serve man. They serve themselves. They don't serve a higher purpose. They don't care about you. They actually don't. They genuinely don't. So it's not about, you're going to deal with crazy every day. And it's also one of the tests and one of the things you have to overcome to be the better version of yourself is to navigate these horrible waters. Do you know what I mean? Treacherous terrains.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not about attracting them. It's about how you handle them when they're here and how you let them go swiftly and smoothly. Unagi.
Yes. I confirm that. I affirm this message.
I concur.
I concur this.
So thought. Just a few things that I read, I think maybe also because of the nature of our conversations, things my FBI agent understands me really well, so they send me certain things.
Mm.
So I just thought this was the nice little sprinkle on top of everything we discussed today.
I mean.
Do you have any other questions for me? Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Other than I know how much you're going to miss me when I travel. Okay. And you're going to cry. I always do this, by the way.
Entirely too high.
It's actually quite low. We've discussed off camera. So that's why these conversations happen. It's actually quite the opposite. No, it's just being sarcastic and whatnot. We shall meet again at the end of June. Yes, at the end of June. And we shall regroup. And I need to start recording some stuff because... you can call me out. It's fine.
I've been begging.
Yep.
I've been screaming. Mm-hmm. I've been texting. Yep. I've been calling. Uh-huh. I've been sending. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to mentally influence with memes.
Yes, you have.
And reels.
Yes, that's true.
Nothing works with you.
No, but I'm like, look, I'm sure your audience will understand. The fact that Layla gets up and does these videos and is there to be the sort of friend that you never knew that you needed and you wish you had, is a really admirable quality, and it's something that not a lot of people will have because it requires a level of discipline and drive to be able to do this all the time. Because backstage, for anyone that doesn't know this, half of the time that Layla records, she's doing all the recording herself. She's doing all of the video setup herself. She's doing like the glam herself. Everything is done so that she can put her best foot forward so that she can help you guys out. And she does this and it's like for free. She doesn't make any financial gain from this this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that should go to show how dedicated someone is. And, you know.
That'll be my.
And sorry, Rocky, my name check. That's what I mean. It's like you don't want to interject or interrupt at some point. But yeah, so that's what I was trying to say about Layla.
I appreciate that.
But
thank
it's true.
You.
It's true.
It is true. But like, I love doing it, you know? And I mentioned. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that. Forget it. But yeah, it is true. And you know, and my dad knows, and this is something like off camera, that every now and then, more often than every now and then, I'm just like, let's just shut it down. I don't want to keep doing this. And it's unfortunate. It's not that I don't love what we do. I do. It's just, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of mental and taxing work. But then I think it's also, I talk about God so much that sometimes I forget the devil's right there listening too, you know? So as much as, and the more you preach God, the more God loves you, the more the devil wants you,
mm-hmm.
the sweeter you look to him. So yeah, the days when I'm feeling, what happened? I was feeling so positive in my faith and so good and so strong. And then that little thing creeps in, that's the devil. But it also makes me feel even better when I remember it, because I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
You have to be, if both God and the devil love you so much.
Absolute.
Yeah, it's a good thing to aspire to be or energetically to try to get to. So yeah, I think I sometimes forget the devil exists. I do. I tend to always just look at God and the positive, and I forget that there's someone else just creeping in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I try. But you know, you're also great with it. You help all the time. Like anytime I need you to film with me, you're right there, even though you don't want to sometimes.
I try.
A lot of the time you don't want to. A lot of the time you try this again.
No, I try.
Especially because the topics of conversation. So just to preface as well, Sarah is an intellectual in every sense of the word. She's also the academics and a professor and all of those like crazy things. And she loves to discuss like sociocultural, like the like deepest, craziest things, you know what I mean? What makes you move the way you move? That's where you go into, mm-hmm. right? I want to say why you are the way you are. Because even when we discussed about potentially interviewing certain people, you're like, no, I want to know why they think this way, yeah. why they move this way.
Yeah.
Like she's very like, I want to understand you inside out, which I love. But my audience, and no disrespect to you guys, sometimes you just have to give people like things that they can digest. And unfortunately, also what they're interested in all the time is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's always men and women. Men do this, women do that. And I get it. But it's also like you, your soul. Life doesn't revolve around men and women.
No,
So I get it. You get frustrated a little bit. And I understand.
It's not, I don't think it's like frustration. It's just, look,
I get frustrated.
I think the frustration is knowing that there are people that still haven't healed or haven't learned. And it's the frustration that you can feel towards me and I can feel towards you and in our friendship, where I'm like, I'm wringing your neck because I want you to work so hard. And you were like, I want you to win. And I'm like, I want you to win too. But
no, I'm talking about the podcast that we film.
I know. But then, but like taking that out of context and then reapplying it to the podcast, it's that we are teachers in different ways. And I think that, well, at least I see you as a teacher. I mean, oh. I hope you see yourself as a teacher.
I really
but I don't. Oh well, too bad. But too bad.
That F was like too flipping bad,
freaking bad. No, because it's like, you know, we all have these, like, I think it's like 12 main archetypes, and like you can research it to find out which one that you kind of slot in. Because Layla and I were kind of doing this in terms of like, what personality are we? What, you know, with the art of seduction, etc.
We were also talking about the houses. She's a Gryffindor.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
No.
Me and Slytherin.
Me.
Yeah, but me. Yeah. Let's sing and praise it. But yes, just as a sort of like trajectory. And it's like, as personally for me as an educator, I try to find ways to educate in all different ways. And for you, your outlet is this podcast. At least it's one of the outlets. And so I think the frustration can come whether you're talking about with your audience or whether it's within this, you know, having people to kind of do this, is that like, I want people to win, because then that proves to you, or that's at least the gateway into knowing that what you're doing is right, because it's landing somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's like the frustration can be, you know, ow, I've been cracking all day.
Yeah, babe. I think what did I do today? I like stood up and my ankles cracked.
Yeah, it's just
Wasabiso.
There is a question. It was interesting just because we were just talking about cracking, but it was saying that, okay.
Hi, Bubs. Hi, sweet girl.
It was a question about, am I meant for love, or am I just playing the long haul and nothing is going to amount to anything? The only reason why I asked this is because of the cracking, and that like women are getting older, and it's like, are you waiting for something good in the end, or is it just like, is it not happening? Oh, yes. Am I holding on? Wait, or is it because the timeline
is there because there is an intended timeline in mind? Oh, I don't know. That was phrased quite badly. Sorry.
I don't even know if you're speaking English anymore. So I'm clearly not.
Okay, yeah, we're just going to wrap it. Wrap it up, wrap it down. Sorry, guys.
I don't know what just happened. But that's our episode for today. This was fun. This was cute. This was bodacious. Mm. Are you feeling bonita?
I'm feeling best of beso, best booze.
She is bonita. Crazy little girl. So crazy. Spilled a drink on my couch yesterday.
So crazy.
Okay, so this is our episode for Naharda. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being here.
Assalamu alaikum.
I don't know. I say you.
Yeah,
you and my dad keep trying to like beat me to this. Sorry, guys. And I don't know how I feel.
Okay, I'm just gonna shut up now.
I mean, crazy.
So crazy. So crazy. Okay.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. I have no idea what I'm titling this episode, but it was good. It was good. It was nice just to like chit chat. Can I grab you for a quick chat?
For a chin wag.
No, stop. Okay. Reality TV is just no bueno. All right. I hope you guys liked today's episode. Let us know what you think. Ask more questions. Can people just give us direct questions? Like, don't just tell me, what do I do if I love him and he doesn't love me back? Like, give me real life scenarios. Because you and I are always talking theoretically. I want the real. I want the nitty gritty. Give it to me. And that's it. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Thank you for having me. I'm like, when do I?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.